कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवरदारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अद्भुतदर्शन His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtodha Darshi. His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Nitai Gaura Primanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीर्वुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 लॉर्ड कृष्णा एंट्रेंस इनटू द्वारका टेक्स्ट नंबर 16 निशम्य प्रेष्टमायांतम् वसुदेवो महामनाः अक्रूरश्चोग्रसेनश्च रामश्चाद्भुत विक्रमः निशम्य प्रेष्टमायांतम् वसुदेवो महामनाः अक्रूरश्चोग्रसेनश्च రామశ్చాద్భుత విక్రమ నిశమ్య ప్రేష్టమాయాంతం వసుదేవో మహామణాః అక్రూరశ్చోగ్రసేనశ్చ రామశ్చాద్భుత విక్రమ నిశమ్య ప్రేష్టమాయాంతం రామశ్చాద్భుత విక్రమ నిశమ్య ప్రేష్టమాయాంతం వసుదేవో మహామణాః అక్రూరశ్చోగ్రసేనశ్చ రామశ్చాద్భుత విక్రమః నిశమ్య ప్రేష్టమాయాంతం వసుదేవో మహామణా అక్రూరశ్చోగ్రసేనశ్చ రామశ్చాద్భుత విక్రమః మాతాజీస్ నిశమ్య ప్రేష్టమాయాంతం వసుదేవో మహామణా అక్రూరశ్చోగ్రసేనశ్చ రామశ్చాద్భుత విక్రమః వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఐల్ రీడ్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్స్ ఆల్సో ప్రద్యుమ్నశ్చారుదేష్ణశ్చ సాంబో జాంబవతీ సుతః ప్రహర్ష వేగోచ్చషిత శయనాసన భోజన నిశమ్య జస్ట్ హియరింగ్ ప్రేష్టం ద డియర్ మోస్ట్ ఆయాంతం కమింగ్ హోమ్ వసుదేవ ద ఫాదర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ మహామణ ద మెగ్నానిమస్ అక్రూర చ అండ్ ఉగ్రసేన చ అండ్ రామ బలరామ్ ద ఎల్డర్ బ్రదర్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ చ అండ్ అద్భుత సూపర్ హ్యూమన్ విక్రమ ప్రావస్ ప్రద్యుమ్న చారుదేష్ణ చ అండ్ సాంబ జాంబవతి సుత ద సన్ ఆఫ్ జాంబవతి ప్రహర్ష ఎక్స్ట్రీమ్ హ్యాపీనెస్ వేగ ఫోర్స్ ఉచ్చషిత బీయింగ్ ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్డ్ బై శయన లయింగ్ డౌన్ ఆసన సిట్టింగ్ ఆన్ భోజన డైనింగ్ Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, on hearing that the most dear Krishna was approaching Dwaraka Dham, magnanimous Vasudev, Akrura, Ugrasena, Balaram, the superhumanly powerful Pradyumna, Charudeshna and Samba, the son of Jambavati, all extremely happy, abandoned resting, sitting and dining. So I will read the purport from yesterday's where we left off. So in the purport actually Prabhupada is giving a brief introduction about the different characters mentioned in these verses. So yesterday's purport we read Vasudev, Akrura and Ugrasena. I will read from Baladev. Baladev, he is the divine son of Vasudev by his wife Rohini. He is also known as Rohini Nandana, the beloved son of Rohini. He was also entrusted to Nanda Maharaj along with his mother Rohini. When Vasudev embraced imprisonment by mutual agreement with Kamsa. So Nanda Maharaj is also the foster father of Baladev along with Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna and Lord Baladev were constant companions from their very childhood. Although they were stepbrothers, he is the plenary manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he is as good and powerful as Lord Krishna. He belongs to the Vishnu Tattva, the principle of Godhead. He attended the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi along with Sri Krishna.
when Subhadra was kidnapped by Arjuna by the organized plan of Sri Krishna, Baladeva was very angry with Arjuna and wanted to kill him at once. Sri Krishna, for the sake of his dear friend, fell at the feet of Lord Baladeva and implored him not to be so angry. Sri Baladeva was thus satisfied. Similarly, he was once very angry with the Kauravas and he wanted to throw their whole city into the depths of the Yamuna. But the Kauravas satisfied him by surrendering unto his divine lotus feet. He was actually the seventh son of Devaki prior to the birth of Lord Krishna. But by the will of the Lord, he was transferred to the womb of Rohini to escape the wrath of Kamsa. His other name is therefore Sankarshana, who is also the plenary portion of Sri Baladeva. Because he is as powerful as Lord Krishna and can bestow spiritual power to the devotees, he is therefore known as Baladeva. In the Vedas also it is enjoined that no one can know the Supreme Lord without being favored by Baladeva. Bala means spiritual strength and not physical. Some less intelligent persons interpret Bala as the strength of the body. But no one can have spiritual realization by physical strength. Physical strength ends with the end of the physical body, but spiritual strength follows the spirit soul to the next transmigration, and therefore the strength obtained by Baladeva is never wasted. The strength is eternal, and thus Baladeva is the original spiritual master of all devotees. Sri Baladeva was also a class friend of Lord Sri Krishna as a student of Sandipani Muni. In his childhood, he killed many asuras along with Sri Krishna. And specifically, he killed the Denukasura at Talavan. During the Kurukshetra battle, he remained neutral and he tried his best not to bring about the fight. He was in favor of Duryodhan, but still he remained neutral. When there was a club fight between Duryodhan and Bhimasen, he was present on the spot. He was angry at Bhimasen when the latter struck Duryodhan on the thigh or below the belt, and he wanted to retaliate the unfair action. Lord Sri Krishna saved Bhima from his wrath, but he felt the place, he left the place at once, being disgusted at Bhimasen, and after his departure, Duryodhan fell to the ground to meet his death. The funeral ceremony of Abhimanyu, the son of Arjuna, was performed by him as he was the maternal uncle. It was impossible to be performed by any one of the Pandavas who were all overwhelmed with grief. At the last stage, he departed from this world by producing a great white snake from his mouth, and thus he was carried by Sheshanag in the shape of a serpent. Pradyumna, incarnation of Kamadev, or according to others, incarnation of Sanat Kumara, born as the son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and Lakshmi Devi, Srimati Rukmini, the principal queen at Dwaraka. He was one of those who went to congratulate Arjuna upon his marrying Subhadra. He was one of the great generals who fought with Shalva, and while fighting with him, he became unconscious on the battlefield. His charioteer brought him back to the camp from the battlefield, and for this action, he was very sorry and rebuked his charioteer. However, he fought again with the Shalva and was victorious. He heard all about the different demigods from Naradaji. He is one of the four plenary expansions of Lord Sri Krishna. He is the third one. He inquired from his father Sri Krishna about the glories of the Brahmanas. During the fratricidal war among the descendants of Yadu, he died at the hand of Bhoja, another king of the Vrishnis. After his death, he was installed in his original position. Charudeshna, another son of Lord Sri Krishna and Rukmini Devi, he was also present during the Swayamvara ceremony of Draupadi. He was a great warrior like his brothers and father. He fought with Vivindaka and killed him in the fight. Samba, one of the great heroes of the Yadu dynasty and the son of Lord Sri Krishna by his wife Jambavati, he learned the military art of throwing arrows from Arjuna and he became a member of parliament during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthir. He was present during the Rajasuya Yajna of Maharaj Yudhishthir. When all the Vrishnis were assembled during the time of Prabhasa Yajna, His glorious activities were narrated by Satyaki before Lord Baladev. He was also present along with his father, Lord Shri Krishna, during the Ashwamedha Yajna performed by Yudhishthir. He was presented before some rishis, falsely dressed as a pregnant woman by his brothers. And in fun, he asked the rishis what he was going to deliver. The rishis replied that he would deliver a lump of iron, which would be the cause of fratricidal war in the family of Yadu. The next day in the morning, Samba delivered a large lump of iron, which was entrusted with Ugrasena for necessary action. Actually, later on, there was a foretold fratricidal war and Samba died in that war. So all these actions of Lord Krishna left the respective, all the sons of Lord Krishna left the respective palaces and leaving aside all engagements, including lying down, sitting and dining, hastened toward their exalted father. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschati Dashatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So Prabhupada has given such an elaborate purport, especially he has just given an introduction to all these characters. Like Prabhupada is writing the probably the first person to write commentaries on the every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the English language. So definitely the English speaking audience, those who are not Indians, they may not be, they will not know all these characters who are coming to receive Krishna. Because all these characters are from directly from Krishna Leela. And Prabhupada has brought out different instances where these characters are involved in Krishna's pastimes from the 10th canto. And is given a summary of all these characters. And when Krishna came to Dwaraka, and Krishna blew the conch shell, it is said that, so all these sons of Krishna, Vasudeva, Ugrasena, Akrura, so they all actually, whatever activities they were doing, they left all their activities and they immediately came to meet Krishna with great eagerness. Some of them were taking prasadam, or they were lying down, or they were chit-chatting. But they left everything and then they came immediately to meet Krishna. So, because when I saw this purport, like each character, which pastime to focus on, is little, I found it difficult. So I thought, I'll speak on something on the theme of this chapter only. So we see that actually in this chapter and the previous chapter, in the previous chapter when Krishna was leaving Hastinapur, how the residents of Hastinapur, Pandavas, they were feeling separation from Krishna. And in this chapter, we see how the Dwarakavasis are having a union with Krishna. So the both these chapters involve like very deep spiritual emotions exhibited by people who are having love for Krishna, the different devotees in Hastinapur and Dwaraka. So it is and we can see In both these chapters, all the characters involved in these chapters, they are exhibiting a deep longing and eagerness for the association of Krishna, either through separation or through union. And one of the symptoms of love for Krishna is called a samutkanta. Samutkanta means having an intense greed for meeting Krishna or attaining the service of the Lord. And this samutkanta, this intense eagerness is exhibited by all these characters in this chapter and the previous chapter. So when we see Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture on the Bhakti Rasa. Nigama Kalpataror Galitam Phalam Shukamukad Amrita Drava Samyutam Pibata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam Muhuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. So Srimad Bhagavatam is basically a scripture of Bhakti Rasa. So this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam is appealing to the Rasikas, who are actually connoisseurs of rasa, who are expert in tasting rasa. They are appealing to such connoisseurs of rasa that please actually drink this liquid nectar called a Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Rasamalayam. So it, we can say, suppose there is a conference for the CEOs of very big corporate companies, all big established corporate companies who have turnovers of hundreds and thousands of crores, who have established companies over many decades. So if there is a corporate summit or corporate conference for them, the topics in that conference, they will not be like the people who are actually starting up companies, those who are startup entrepreneurs. They cannot relate to the topics discussed in the conference of established CEOs, because they will be talking about topics which will be relevant to them, and all the figures will be in terms of thousands of crores and hundreds of crores. And those who are startup entrepreneurs, who are just starting their business, they cannot relate to those topics only. And what to speak of, suppose if some daily wage worker enters into that conference. A daily wage worker, I remember, I was staying at my native place. So every day one lady would come. She would go house to house and she would sell flowers. And she would sell some flowers in a particular glass. That would be like 15 rupees or 20 rupees. So her whole income is based on selling flowers house to house. Maybe some houses they will say, today we don't need flowers. Some houses they have gone out. Some houses have traveled outside or different place. So her income would not be constant. Someday she would get 100 rupees, someday 200 rupees. Or somebody who is, he is leading a life by repairing some chapels. Once I just went to repair some chapel. I gave the chapel to him in the morning and then I went in the afternoon and he was like taking a peaceful rest. Just in the corner of the road, he had made a shed for himself. So like all the buses are moving, but he was peacefully resting there. So I could understand that practically he didn't have any business on that day. And he was just peacefully resting. And I was surprised that he was having a complete tilak on his head. And then I could see he was a Vaishnava. And so such kind of daily wage workers, whose income would be like vacillating, someday 100 rupees, someday 200 rupees, someday 300 rupees. So suppose if they happen to enter the conference in which the CEOs are addressed. So they will not be able to relate anything actually. So if we see Srimad Bhagavatam on one level, it is like a subject matter for the established CEOs who are compared to the connoisseurs of rasa. Because Bhagavatam is a rasamalayam. So every subject in the Bhagavatam, there is intense bhakti rasas are involved in the characters who are in that particular episode. But like for practitioner devotees, or those who are beginning or practitioner devotees, so many of us, we go through different stages of unsteadiness, or what is called as anishtita bhajana kriya. So anishtita bhajana kriya, during the phase of anishtita bhajana kriya, a devotee goes through many ups and downs. Like Vishnu Chakvatipad gives a brief symptoms of anishtita bhajana kriya. Like he says that one symptom is like utsahamayi, sudden enthusiasm. One feels that because of sudden enthusiasm, one feels as if like he can attain love for Krishna in overnight. So this is like a type of a raw enthusiasm, but without patience and determination. Or another symptom is gana tarala. A person is sometimes enthusiastic and sometimes lethargic. And one vacillates between bhoga and tyaga. I'm just giving a brief this thing. And another symptom is like viewed a vikalpa. One is actually assailed by different doubts. Doubts assail one's determination to practice bhakti. So should I do this and should I do that? One is confused about making different decisions. And another symptom is like Vishaya Sangara. There is an intense battle with the senses. So at this stage, doubts may not be there. One might have developed a little stronger faith. But one is having a tough time battling with the senses. Sometimes one is not having a strong understanding because of that one is facing a problem from the doubts. Sometimes a person has a strong understanding, one has got a strong faith, but one is unable to put that faith into practice because of the battle with the senses. And another symptom is like niyamakshama, where a person takes unrealistic vows. So from tomorrow onwards, I will get up at 2:30. I will chant 64 rounds. And then the next day, we get up 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock. So one is unable to maintain the vows. And then there is taranga rangini. Taranga rangini means when a person is practicing bhakti, there are different side benefits which come as a byproduct of bhakti. One gets praise from others or certain, say, monetary benefit, or one can get carried away by those waves of those praise. So all these symptoms of anishtita bhajana kriya, this is like a person practicing anishtita bhajana kriya is like a daily wage worker. Just like a daily wage worker's income is not constant, a person who is practicing anishtita bhajana kriya, he goes through different ups and downs. So these symptoms of anishtita bhajana kriya, they are like a bipolar syndrome in sadhana bhakti. Because there is no constancy in the practice of bhakti. One is actually going through different ups and downs, either because of doubts or say sense gratification or different other things. So normally when there's a subject matter for the in which the conference of CEOs are there, the big established CEOs are there when such a conference is taking place, those topics will not be relevant for the startup entrepreneurs or for the daily wage workers. But on the other hand, in the case of the Srimad Bhagavatam, although Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a subject matter, is a book for the rasikas, who are actually connoisseurs of rasa, who have developed their love for Krishna, but the same Srimad Bhagavatam is also meant for the daily wage workers and for the startup entrepreneurs. It is also meant for those who are beginning the practice of bhakti, and it is meant for the common conditioned souls also. Because we find in the Bhagavatam, Suta Goswami says that Yahaswanubhavam Akila Shruti Saram Ekam Adhyatma Deepam Atitirshatam Tamondam Samsarinam Karuna Yaha Purana Guhyam Tam Vyasa Sunam Upayami Guru Muninam. I offer my obeisances to Shukadeva Goswami, who out of his compassion spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like a transcendental torchlight, Adhyatma Deepam, transcendental lamp. Who spoke this Bhagavatam for the people who are going through the cycle of birth and death, Samsarinam. The Samsarinam are the daily wage workers, are those who are beginners. So, we find that, this chapter, like these people, the characters involved, Baldeva, Ugrasena, Pradyumna, all these people are, they have an intimate affection towards Krishna. They are eternal associates of Krishna. They are experiencing their bhakti rasa, either dasya rasa or sakya rasa or vatsalya rasa. They are awakened. But at the same time, the same Srimad Bhagavatam, when we, even the beginners, sadhaka bhaktas, when we go through them, it also nourishes our own bhakti also. So in this chapter, the chapter begins with actually Krishna blowing the conch shell. So the whole, actually the scene is so beautiful. Krishna is having a darkish blue complexion. So his hand is having a color of darkish blue complexion. And the palms of his hand are having a reddish complexion. And the conch shell is having a white complexion. So this color combination of red, blue and the white, that itself is something very beautiful to look at. One Acharya is mentioning that. And then the contact with the conch shell, Krishna is touching his lips with the conch shell. His reddish lips are in contact with the conch shell. And his reddish palms are in contact with the conch shell. And in that conch shell, Krishna is filling that conch shell with the air from his mouth, which is emanating from the bottom of his stomach, which is emanating from his heart. So this conch shell is having such an intimate contact with Krishna, contact with his lips, with his feelings from the heart and his palms. So, Shukadeva Goswami gives such a beautiful analogy. He says that this conch shell is like a Raja Hamsa. And he's saying that at this time Krishna is having a four-handed form. And his hands are compared to the lotus flower. And what is the color of the lotus flower? Reddish lotus flower. Because the palms of his hand are reddish in nature. So there is not just only one lotus flower, but there is a samuha of the lotus flowers, because there are four hands. So one conchal, which is like a Raja Hamsa, which is playing in the midst of the Samuha of the lotus flowers. And this is the scene which Sukadeva Goswami is actually depicting. And Krishna blew his conch shell in different instances. So let us go through some instances where Krishna blew the conch shell and what effect it had on the different people who heard that conch shell sound. So when Krishna went to Samyamani in order to get back the sons of his guru Sandipani, son of his guru Sandipani Muni, he blew his conch shell there. So when he blew his conch shell, the hell known as Asipatravana lost the sharp sword-like leaves on its trees. And the Raurava hell became the free of its Ruru bees. The Bhairava hell lost its fearfulness. And the gas in the Kumbhipaka hell that got over. All the cooking stopped in the Kumbhipaka hell. And so essentially, when those people who heard the sound of Krishna's conch shell, all the people in the hellish planets, they got liberated from their suffering. Their sinful reactions were eradicated and they attained liberation. And when Krishna went to Prag Jyotishpur, he blew his conch shell, and the Prag Jyotishpur was guarded by very sophisticated electric wiring system, not actually physical electricity, but by the mystic siddhis of the Bhaumasur. So when Krishna blew his conch shell, it shattered the magical seals of that fortress, and not only that, it also shattered the hearts of the defenders of that fortress. And there was a Mura demon who was actually sleeping at the bottom of the city's moat. He got up and with great anger, he came to attack Krishna. And when Krishna blew his conch shell, when Mathura was attacked by Jarasandha, so all the soldiers in the Jarasandha's army, their hearts began to tremble with fear. Jarasandha came with 21 Akshavhini divisions. Krishna had a small army. But the quality of Krishna's conchal sound, that was more powerful than the quantity of the soldiers in the army of Jarasandha. So it shattered the hearts of all the soldiers. And in the Kurukshetra battle, when Krishna and the Pandavas blew their conchals, Sagosho Dartharashranam Hridayani Vedarayat Nabascha Prithivim Chaiva Tumulob Yanadayan. So all the hearts of the Kaurava soldiers, they got shattered by hearing the conchal sound. So Prabhupada says that this is due to the Pandavas and their confidence in Lord Krishna. One who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord has nothing to fear even in the midst of the greatest calamity. That is why in the beginning of this chapter, the phrase which is used is Jagat Baya Bayavaham. The conchal sound, it gave, actually it created fear. It gives fear even to the fear personified. And once when Krishna blew the conch shell, the sound from Panchajanya, it wandered throughout the world. And when the wives of the demons heard that conch shell sound, that conchal sound, it caused abortion in the wives of the demons. And the same conchal sound announced auspiciousness to the inhabitants of Swarga, and their hair stood on end. And when Krishna, it is said that Krishna's conchal sound, it acts as a uddipana, it acts as a stimulant to awaken the love in the Shanta Bhaktas, the Dasya Bhaktas, and also in the Sakya Bhaktas. So once when Krishna blew the conch shell, there were some yogis who were actually living in the mountain caves. They were actually meditating. They had achieved the highest state of yoga. They had achieved samadhi. But when they heard Krishna's conch shell, it broke their samadhi, and then their hairs stood on end. They achieved ecstatic symptoms. And normally samadhi is that stage. Having attained that stage, one will not be affected by anything. Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tataha. Yasmin sitona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate. But Krishna's conch shell sound, it actually elevated the yogis to a stage much beyond samadhi. And then another time, one yogi, when he heard Krishna's conch shell sound, Panchajanya, he became filled with joy and tears flowed from his eyes and hair stood on end and his head began to shake. So Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion that this yogi started banging his head upon the floor. He was so overwhelmed that he began to bash his head on the ground. And his clothes fell on the ground and he could no longer maintain his vows. And because he experienced such intense bliss, he showed disregard for the impersonal Brahman by his speech. So he was attached to the impersonal, Brahman realization, just like the four Kumaras, by smelling the tulsi leaves offered to the lotus feet of the Lord, like they achieved love for Krishna. So this particular yogi, he attained Shantarasa. And then another time when Krishna blew the conch shell, the Yadu princess, like in this particular verse, the Yadu princess, they heard the conch shell sound from a great distance. And then their hairs began to dance along with the dancers. So there may be the best of dancers in Bollywood, Tollywood, Kollywood, or Bharatanatyam, Kathak. So can they make the hairs in the body dance along with the other dancers? But here, the Yadu Kumaras, when they heard Krishna's conch shell sound, their hairs began to dance with the dancers. And another time, when Krishna blew the conch shell sound, the Pandavas heard the conch shell sound, and they got stunned in ecstasy. Because of their ecstatic symptoms, their bodily color changed. They became white like Shiva. So Parvati is telling to Shiva that. So Pandavas, their color became white like your color. Our Prabhupada says that the Pandavas regained their strength and they became just like lions, or they gained enthusiasm. And another time, it's a contact with the conch shell, but Krishna did not blow the conch shell. But Krishna, in the form of Prishni Garbha, he touched his conch shell upon Dhruva Maharaj. And when Dhruva Maharaj was touched by that conch shell, Dhruva Maharaj spoke. Dhruva Maharaj exhibited deep virya rasa and a deep sense of detachment. One of the category of virya rasa is that a devotee shows heroic purity. Although Krishna is directly in front of the devotee and the devotee does not ask for anything material, to ask only for devotional service, that requires heroism. So Dhruva Maharaj exhibited that heroic purity. Sthana bilashi tapasi stitoham tvam praptavan deva munindra guhyam kacham vichinvan apidivya ratnam swamin kritartosmi varamna yache. So in this way, Dhruva Maharaj, this Virya Rasa was awakened in Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj experienced that Virya Rasa because of the touch of the conch shell. So we see all these different cases, the same contact with the conch shell, but the effect it had on the different people were different. And some people it produced like enthusiasm or color change in their body, or it gave confidence, or some people it produced fear, and some people it awakened Shantarasa, it made them criticize the impersonal liberation. Some people it awakened Virya Rasa or Dasya Rasa, or some people who are sinful but not offensive, it eradicated their sins. So the same conch shell, it is like, just like there may be a same sparkler, but the same sparkler, it produces different types of fireworks. It may produce a Shankha Chakra, or it may produce a Kalash type of a firework. It may produce a rocket in the fire, or it may produce, suppose the gunpowder within the firecracker is mixed with water, it is wet. The sparkler will produce only some smoke. Or if there is no gunpowder, then the sparkler will produce just little fire because of that whatever piece of paper is there. Or the same sparkler, some snake tablet is there, it will produce like a dummy snake. So the same sparkler, but depending on the content of the gunpowder and the different structure of the gunpowder within that firecracker, it produces different effects. So similarly, the same conch shell sound, same contact with the conch shell, so depending on the attitude of the different people, it produces different effects. So these are some instances where the different devotees, different living entities came in contact with the conch shell sound. Let us see another instance where Krishna himself heard a conch shell sound and what effect it had on Krishna. So when Krishna came to Kurukshetra along with the Yadavas to observe the solar eclipse, so after a long time, after having left Vrindavan, for the first time, Krishna, actually in that Kurukshetra solar eclipse, different kings from all over the Bharatvarsha, they came there. And the Vrajavasis also came to the Kurukshetra for observing the solar eclipse. And Krishna, after a long period of time, he meets the Vrajavasis for the first time in the Kurukshetra. It's a long description, but I'll just focus on one particular aspect. So when Krishna meets the Vrajavasis, he meets Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and then at a very private spot, he meets the gopis, and then he meets the Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani, with her glance and with her deep affection, she started appealing to Krishna, please return to Vrindavan because your mother and father are actually waiting for you. If you are not forgotten Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, then will you come to Vrindavan? So Krishna's heart actually leapt forward towards Vrindavan. And Krishna started moving towards Vrindavan. But at that time, he heard a conch shell sound from the Dwarkavasi's camp. So he heard that Dwarkavasi's camp was a little distant. But he heard that conch shell sound. And in the Dwarka camp, Balram and Subhadra were narrating the Krishna's Dwarka pastimes to the assembled kings over there. And when he heard that conch shell sound, Krishna thought that, if I return to Vrindavan, many enemies would come to Dwaraka and they would create havoc. They would attack Dwaraka. And then, but then in front of him, he sing Srimati Radharani. And the Radharani's glance lured Krishna's mind away from his duty. And when he saw Radharani's glance, Krishna felt that, oh, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda have come to Kurukshetra with great expectations. I have to return to Vrindavan. So then Krishna closed his eyes. And when he closed his eyes, he started remembering Vrindavan. He started running after the cows in Vrindavan, along with Subal, Sridhama. And he was absorbed in the thoughts of Vrindavan. And then when he was lost in the thought of Vrindavan, and then he started remembering the laughing of the gopas and the play, he would play with the gopas. And then second time the conch shell sound blew from the Dwaraka camp. So when he heard for the second time, again his mind went to the Dwaraka camp. What about my enemies? What about my duty? I have come to establish Dharma and I have to relieve the burden of the earth and I have to kill many demons. What about my duty? And then again, in front of him, he is seeing Srimati Radharani and Radharani is saying that, come back to Vrindavan. Your father and friends will die without you. Don't hesitate. And then again Krishna's mind started running in the pastures of Vrindavan. And he could smell the kadamba flowers. He could actually feel the cooling spray from Yamuna. But the fate blew the conch shell sound for the third time. And when the conch shell blew for the third time, Krishna opened his eyes. And Vrindavan was gone. And Radharani is looking at him and his eyes were moist with the tears and from the deep distance Krishna could hear the sound of Balram. Balramji is actually coming to that particular place. Balramji is calling out, oh Krishna, your family is awaiting you to join them for supper. Please come. And then Radharani is telling to Krishna, oh come back to Vrindavan. So Krishna was pulled in two directions. When he, on one side he was hearing the conch shell sound which was pulling him back to Dwaraka. And another side, Krishna was pulled to Vrindavan. So Krishna was thinking that, why has fate decreed that duty and happiness can never coexist? In this world, is it not possible that the duty, the call of duty and the call of love, can they not coexist? Why the providence has created such a situation that the call of duty and the call of love, they are in conflict with each other? So Krishna was pulled by the call of love towards Vrindavan, but Krishna was pulled by the call of duty towards Dwaraka. And so this actually conflict between the call of duty and the call of love, and we can see this conflict in so many situations in the scriptures. And many years later, in the same Kurukshetra, Arjuna was caught up in the same conflict between the call of love and the call of duty. Because Arjuna had great love, affection and respect towards Bhishma and Drona. But the sense of duty was forcing him to fight the battle. Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankhi Dronam Cha Madhusudana. So he was caught up in that Dharma Samuda between the call of love and the call of duty. And when Krishna spoke the Gita, the effect of Gita was that Arjuna had to make the tough decision. What was the tough decision? The tough decision was that with the same level of love and respect towards Bhishma and Drona, he had to fight at them. He had to shoot arrows at them. So normally, like in the case of a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava aparad is committed through our mind, words, or with the body. And the Vaishnava aparad to the body is the highest kind of Vaishnava aparad. And here, Arjuna is shooting arrows at the every inch of the body of Bhishma. But it is not considered Vaishnava aparad, but because in his heart he had the same sense of love and respect and affection towards Bhishma. So Arjuna was caught up in the same conflict between the call of love and the call of duty. And Krishna also went through the same conflict at the same place Duryodhan, at the same place Kurukshetra. And because Krishna made the decision to attend to the call of duty over the call of love, because Krishna did not go back to Vrindavan, Krishna went back to Dwaraka. So therefore, Krishna could actually, because unless a person has practiced something, he cannot actually convince other person to attend to the same call. So Krishna could actually give that inspiration by speaking the Gita to tell Arjuna to attend to the call of duty, but while having the same respect towards Bhishma. And we see another place where the same conflict happens in Ramayana. So when Sita was kidnapped by Ravana, Lord Ram was crying in separation from Sita like a madman. Just like the gopis were crying in separation from Krishna when Krishna disappeared in the Ras Leela. Similarly, same feelings of separation were exhibited by Lord Ram like a madman. But the same Lord Ram, after killing Ravana, when he brought back Sita, Lord Ram told that, now I have actually killed Ravana, so now you can go wherever you want. Because Lord Ram was playing the role of a king, and he told Sita that you can go back anywhere, because Sita was with Ravana for one year, so he didn't want to take Sita back with him. So Lord Ram had to attend to the call of duty, and that because of that, Sita actually, that made Sita undergo the Agni Pariksha. And the same Lord Ram sent Sita to the Valmiki Munish Ashram, because many people were speaking different rumors in Ayodhya. So we see the how the Shastra is actually filled with different situations where even the Supreme Lord is put in a conflicting situation where sometimes he has to choose the call of love and sometimes he has to choose the call of duty. And again in the Vrindavan, after Krishna killed Keshi, Narada Muni comes there and Narada Muni tells Krishna, now it is time for you to leave Vrindavan. You have to attend to the call of duty. And Narada Muni tells about all the future pastimes of Krishna, which Krishna has to perform outside Vrindavan. So this conflict between the call of duty and call of duty means what? Call of duty is basically Varnashram Dharma. So the call of Krishna comes in two ways. One is on the platform of Varnashram Dharma, which is the call of duty. And the Varnashram Dharma is a system established by Krishna. And another level, the call of Krishna comes through the direct love towards the person Krishna. These are the two aspects of call of Krishna. One is the call of duty, call of Varnashram Dharma. Another is the call of love towards the person Krishna. And if you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also put in the conflicting situations. When Mahaprabhu, because of the deep sense of call of love, he took sannyas and he left his old widowed mother. because the call of love was actually, it pulled him, it made him take sannyas and made him leave Bengal. But the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was actually repenting that, oh, I have actually broken the religious principles because I left the service of my mother. And therefore, Kaviraj Goswami calls Mahaprabhu as Matru Bhakta Shiromani. So, he was actually repenting that he did not actually attend to the call of duty. And the same Mahaprabhu, when he was going to South India Yatra, he was telling the different devotees, he was actually finding faults with the different devotees. He didn't want to take any devotees along with him. Because Mahaprabhu felt that, I have taken sannyas, I have to observe the regulative principles of sannyas. As a sannyasi, I have to travel and preach, I have to perform austerities. But if I keep these devotees with me, they will not allow me to perform these austerities. So therefore, he didn't want to take any of the devotees. So therefore, he was actually finding fault in the character of the different devotees. So Kaviraj Goswami says that, no one can properly describe Mahaprabhu's affection for his devotees. He always tolerated all kinds of personal unhappiness resulting from his acceptance of the renounced order of life. And the regulative principles observed by Mahaprabhu were sometimes intolerable for the other devotees. And the devotees became greatly affected by them. And Mahaprabhu, when he would see the unhappiness of the devotees, that would bring unhappiness to him. But at the same time, he has to follow the regulative principles of sannyas. So therefore, he found the faults in the devotees. It is actually apparent glorification of those devotees. So Mahaprabhu, he wanted to attend to the call of duty because he wanted to observe the sannyas dharma. So therefore, he didn't want to take any of the devotees, although he had a deep affection for the devotees. The same Mahaprabhu in the Ramananda Samvad, he says that the greatest suffering is to be separated from the devotees. But the same Mahaprabhu, when he was leaving Jagannath Puri, Sarvam Bhattacharya, he just completely collapsed. He became unconscious. Mahaprabhu did not even look back, as if like a stone without any emotions. He just went ahead. So he attended to the call of duty actually. And the same Mahaprabhu, when he was going to Vrindavan, Gadadhar Pandit, he collapsed, he became unconscious. And Mahaprabhu is called as Gadadhara Prananatha, one who is the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. But Mahaprabhu did not even turn back. Mahaprabhu was deeply pained being separated from Gadadhar Pandit, because Mahaprabhu wanted Gadadhar Pandit to attend to his call of duty, because Gadadhar Pandit had taken the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. So at his own personal unhappiness of being separated from Gadadhar Pandit, he wanted Gadadhar Pandit to actually follow those vows. So therefore, as if like an emotionless person, he just went ahead. So we see this conflicting situations that especially in the Lord's pastimes and in his eternal associates' pastimes in this material world, there is a conflict between the call of duty and the call of love. And this call of duty, as I mentioned, it is the duties in the Varnashram Dharma. And because of that made Krishna leave Vrindavan, come to Mathura, and then go to Dwaraka, and then Dwaraka to... That made Krishna leave from Dwaraka to Hastinapur. So when we see the Varnashram Dharma, the role of Varnashram Dharma in Krishna Leela is that it creates separation of Krishna from different devotees. And in that way, it makes the later union more relishable. So the role of Varnashram Dharma in Krishna Leela is that it enhances the rasa involved in the pastimes of Krishna with his devotees. And the same Varnashram Dharma, What is the role of Varnashram Dharma in the Sadhaka Bhaktas? Is that in the Sadhaka Bhaktas, the Varnashram Dharma gives stability to their practice of bhakti. It actually creates a legacy for the future. And we can see this particular aspect in Prabhupada's purport in the Gajendra Leela, where Prabhupada says that in order to fight against the crocodile, the elephant was not situated in its natural situation. So in order to fight against Maya, one has to be situated in one's in a natural situation according to one's Varna and Ashram. To continue the fight against Maya in the long term. So the role of Varnashram Dharma in the Sadhaka Bhaktas is that it gives mental strength and enthusiasm to fight against Maya for a long time. And the role of Varnashram Dharma in the materialistic people who don't have any understanding of Dharma is that Varnashram brings sanity to their life, and by that sanity they'll be able to understand some philosophy. I'll just mention one Prabhupada's quote. So Prabhupada says that the Varnashram college has to be established immediately. Everywhere, wherever we have got our center, Varnashram college should be established, because if the people are in chaos, how will they be able to accept the great philosophy? It requires a cool brain. So the Varnashram Dharma in the materialistic people, it brings some sanity and they'll be able to understand the philosophy better when they get some sanity, when they get some stability. And in the case of the Sadhaka Bhaktas, again, in one quote of Prabhupada, Prabhupada says that it is not easy to become a Vaishnava. If to become a Vaishnava is so easy, why so many fall down? It is not so easy. So therefore, the Varnashram must be established to make the way easy. So in that way, Varnashram Dharma has got three roles in the case of the common materialistic people and in the case of the Sadhaka Bhaktas. And then in the Krishna Leela, it creates union and separation. It creates conflict between the call of love and the call of duty. And it enhances the rasa released between Krishna with the devotees. So I'll stop here. What we discussed briefly today, we discussed about how Srimad Bhagavatam is, although it is a topic for the Rasikas, the same Srimad Bhagavatam is also meant for the Sadhaka Bhaktas, and it is also meant for the people who are entangled in the cycle of birth and death, the common people. And then we discussed the effect of Krishna's conchal on the different people. And then we discussed also how when Krishna heard the conchal sound in Kurukshetra, how he experienced a conflict between the call of love and the call of duty. And then we discussed about the role of Varnashram in this on three levels. Hare Krishna. So if there are any questions or something, then I'll take personally. I'll stop here. Grantharan Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.